The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you. In which our heroes draw a card.
Welcome, audience, to the drawing for episode 23 of The Big Red Couch. Those numbers are getting terrifyingly high.
You waggle a box full of stuff in front of the special pest. Very well. And the subject of the impending episode 23 is State Fair, to the tune of Our State Fair is a Great State Fair.
Oh, no.
I feel that I should raise my hand here and admit responsibility for putting that card in the box, and indeed having come up with the idea and having written the card. I should, however, point out that I'm not doing this, because as far as I'm concerned, that's somebody else's fault and has nothing to do with me, even though it was my idea and I wrote it on the card and put it in the box.
Also, it would leave your ribs vulnerable to being jabbed with a stick. Hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
If it were your fault.
Which is not.
That was far too well practiced.
It's a special talent.
We have superpowers. They're just not very useful.
It's true. We're not proud.
State Fair, episode 23.
See you next time.
See you.
Bye.
Farewell.
Some days later.
People eat brains when they're a zombie.
People eat brains when they're a zombie.
Okay, this can work somewhere.
Because you can then go into the we brains.
We brains.
I'm having trouble coming up with a reason not to do that, but
at the very least, it would be a more interesting folk song than much of the stuff that's out there.
I would have to go and get the lyrics to Strange
People
Days.
Are Strange.
People Are Strange, whatever it's called. Yeah.
Like People Are Strange was a door or something?
Yeah. Yep. Off Strange Days, because I think it's the only Doors album I have.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, should we...
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, or even be late.
Anyway, okay. So should we start the episode? I'll start the episode.
Okay.
Just start the episode already.
Okay. Hello, listener, and welcome to the Big Red Couch. On the couches today, we have...
Gulo T.
Ben.
Tanya.
Craig. What? Fuck.
What?
I think we need this one running. Craig, pretend to be Kevin.
And Kevin.
I have no adequate explanation for that, so we're just going to embrace it as comedy and move on.
I'm assuming that it's some level of hero worship.
That's fair.
Okay.
You should see the looks around this microphone, people.
That's a good guess, given he hasn't even seen the shrine yet.
I knew there was a reason behind all that tinfoil. I knew it.
Oh, that's the cookie cutter.
I'm just going to rock back and
forth for a bit. For the capsule thing.
Okay.
Keeps the mind beams at bay.
All right. No idea how much of that's going to make it into the final edit. However, the prompt for today was State Fair.
That came to us from MASH, because I don't know how many people out there in Radioland were forced to absorb MASH, but in New Zealand for a long time there would be MASH playing on one channel and a different portion of MASH playing on another channel. Sometimes it would be going on three channels at different places.
Ah, yes. It was the boring dad TV time before interesting cartoons happened.
Yes.
It was the doldrums.
Mm. And there was the one episode where that revolved around getting an interesting movie because they'd been having the same movie over and over for months. So it people were marching into the movie tent chanting, our state fair is a great state fair, don't miss it or even be late. And we know this from watching television of something making fun of the film that actually exists. I checked.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's the background.
The state fair. Now, there's at least a chance, based on earlier conversations, that Kevin's idea and mine overlap a bit. So I thought maybe if Kevin
would
like to go first, because then...
This will not take long.
That's always encouraging for a podcast where we're frantically, desperately trying to fill time. Oh shit, did I say that bit out loud? Or just, could they hear me?
It's okay, I'll cut it.
We'll fix it in post.
Well, I am not terribly familiar with the basic state fair idea, having never been to one, or indeed living in a country with states. Whenever an online form insists that I put in state on form, I have to put North Island, because we're really imaginative in New Zealand.
We'd always go with denial or delusion, depending on the day.
Ooh.
Mm.
I like it.
Yes. State of anxiety.
Yes. Particularly for filling in stupid job application forms. But never mind. Guess what I've been doing recently. Anyway, so what occurred to me is a gathering of entities about the state of the universe and basically have it about physical states. So that you have representatives of solids, liquids, gases, depending on who you talk to, plasma states, other kinds of examples out there. We can go with the weird and wacky because why the hell not? It's what we tend to do. And because having had this premise very early on in the whole state fair idea, I thought, that's a reasonably good place to start. And what's happened since then? Practically nothing. But this morning I did have an idea, in that you have this whole gathering of entities about the state of the universe and figuring out where to go from here. So it's kind of like a development conference. Except that one of the big presentations from the different groups about something new that they think might shape things to come has in fact been stolen, so that you've got this big exhibit or centerpiece of the conference that is now missing, and so that you've got this weird mystery thing unfolding at a con with the players playing different states of matter looking for the Higgs boson.
I see, which is missing.
I admit I thought...
Is it supposed to be? We're not sure.
I admit I wondered if you were going with the "and that's why dark matter makes up 80% of the universe and nobody knows what it is or where the hell it is," but...
Ooh.
Oh, that's nice. So that's another state.
Already we're building on the idea. Or dark matter is like the Maleficent to the entire thing, who wasn't invited to the con and has turned up to fuck it up anyway.
I was just imagining the line, "the representative from Bose-Einstein condensates has the floor."
Yeah, we could play around with this.
Huh.
That's pretty much the entire thing that I had, because I was figuring we'd go with nice abstract D-systems, because I tend to, certainly. So the whole question of how the solid representative solves problems is boiled down to, they do it forcefully, or something using Fed Accelerator or something else. We can use Nautilus, actually, one of the few times we get to...
I think it depends on the solid, because you also have things like the presentation from the hypercooled...
Ooh.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Superfluid? No.
Hypercooled superconducting solids is scheduled to start at 8:15 and will finish at 8:16. You will have absorbed approximately 15 teraflops of information at that point.
That's outstanding. Actually, if we wanted to just embrace the concept and make it even wackier, it could be one of those conference facilities where there's multiple conferences going on at once, and so we've got multiple different conferences about the state of the universe and how everything's built up out of it happening at once. So in the conference section next door, you've got the four classical elements of earth, air, fire, and water having a conference, a very small, quiet, boring conference around a table by themselves. We've got the 300 or so elements of other mythologies, I think China in particular, over in that hall, and so anyone could have stolen the Higgs boson. Maybe. We just can't find it. It's very hard to explain.
The superfluid delegate would presumably have a very short attention span, keep climbing out the conference chamber to go and get snacks or something.
Hey, let's go ride our butts.
Pretty much.
I get the weird idea the schedule wouldn't be in, like, time, but possibly in degrees Kelvin.
Ooh, nice.
Would there also be a pressure thing? Because I'm just thinking, hydrogen, for example. Most of the time is going to be a gaseous delegate, but every so often will be a liquid delegate, and if you do it just right as a solid.
Interesting.
Okay.
And I think just right means at the centre of a gas giant
stopping
under enormous amounts of pressure.
Effectively stopping time. It's so cold.
Which is where we kind of get to the whole idea that Nobilis might be fun for this one, in terms of having the kind of...
If the floors of the conference centre are described in pressure bands.
Ooh.
And you have the schedule marked off in temperature. So you've got pressure versus temperature for your grid.
That would be fantastic. If we were going with periodic table elements, I'm just imagining somebody, you know, a volunteer at the Conde is basically saying, okay, no, seriously, we have to split up some of these room parties. Because realistically speaking, if there's another queue for the lift and too many of the heavy elements get in there at one time, there's going to be an explosion and nobody wants that.
Chlorine and fluorine are not sharing a room. I don't care if it's cheaper. It's not happening.
Do you remember what happened last time?
Somebody's been reading up on jet fuel, haven't they, recently?
No one gets along with fluorine.
I haven't. Not been reading up on jet fuel. I have been reading up on liquid rocket propellants. It's completely different.
The hypergolics.
Yes.
Does give us an excuse to link to stuff I won't work with in the show notes, and that is an objective good.
Indeed.
And the Netherlands catastrophe.
The what catastrophe?
It was a Russian hypergolic fueled rocket, which basically they were doing a big demonstration thing for a general or something similar, and somebody left the valves open.
Oh my.
Oh dear.
Yeah. And you play Kerbal Space Project.
Yes. Yes, I have.
If you wanted an introductory scenario to it, you could step back a pace and make it about the poor bastards who are trying to organise the conference. Trying to set up that many rooms and chambers and containment systems and possibly individual little seating spaces that are completely self-contained to make sure you could have that many delegates of that many aspects or natures in one room.
We're kind of mixing states of matter and elements and all this kind of thing. Mm. I'm just imagining the poor bastards whose job it is to wrangle the noble elements. Because realistically, they just sit there and they don't fucking do anything.
Yeah.
It's okay. You shovel them into a sedan chair.
And you ferry them around.
Yeah, ferry them around.
I'm getting a bit of a sapphire and steel vibe off it as well.
Yeah.
Certainly if you're going with novelists.
Mm.
Yeah. If you're misrepresenting the qualities of elements, yeah.
And if you wanted to make the noble gases useful, they could be the complaints department, because regardless of what anyone does to them, they don't react.
Yeah, unless you run out of electricity.
And then they glow.
It's all hail the glow cloud.
No toad. We'll lull you.
It could be that the noble elements are the ones organising things. Because they can get along with practically everybody, though there is the suspicion that Xenon and Fluorine have a bit of a thing going.
Well, they might have once. It didn't go well.
No.
It was a messy breakup, or covalent bonding, one of the two.
Chemistry puns. Yeah!
Well, did I trample too badly over your idea?
Oh, God, no. I was nowhere near it.
Yeah, that feels like a exciting acceleration of the old elemental planes of stuff from traditional systems. So, mashed into a conference setting.
I can kind of see that, though given my utter ignorance and unfamiliarity with most traditional systems, it's an accident. So I probably got some things already wrong. But yeah, it would be interesting.
Mm. I hadn't thought of adding the D&D elemental plane of ...
Although I have to admit, now I have an idea from Ben's suggestion of if we ditch the whole state fair core and just say, what would happen if there was a cross-planar conference in Sigil?
Yeah.
Yeah, many of the same problems.
Many of the same
many
problems.
Of the same problems.
So that could be entertaining from a more traditional standpoint, but...
For starters, it'd have to be mobile, because the Lady of Blades doesn't tend to leave people standing. Anyway.
What was your idea then?
I, having come up with something and then checking to see whether the concept of physical states had come into it, realising that maybe my idea had crossed with yours, I came up with a second one. So I actually have two and a half ideas.
Go forth.
All right. The...
Number one!
Idea number one! It's going with state, but it's more in state change from a chemical properties kind of thing. And so you've got a world with a fairly eccentric orbit. It is populated. And because of this eccentric orbit, it gets a summer, it gets spring, it gets fall or autumn. And then it goes into winter. And in winter, it gets colder and colder. And it chills down to the point that the atmosphere starts to separate out.
That's bad.
It's less livable?
Oh, vastly less livable. Basically, the atmosphere chills down the, if we're talking oxygen atmosphere, the various constituent gases start to rain down. Maybe in some areas they'll fall as snow. And basically...
Yes, do not, whatever you do, catch carbon dioxide snow on your tongue. Because you will catch the flake of carbon dioxide on your tongue, breathe it in, and pass out.
Actually, yeah, the carbon dioxide may be one of the first ones to fall out. It would depend on the pressures, but yes. And in this case, you've got this world. It is inhabited. Most of the time, or some of the time at least, it is inhabitable.
Mm.
It's just that for these periods when the place is chilling down and the atmosphere is raining down around you, basically everybody trucks off into the hibernation pods or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so the state fair is basically the start of winter. It's when everybody gets together in the probably big domed facilities, because it's science fiction, you've got to have domes. The big domed facilities, which is sort of cover the hibernation pods and everything. And it's the big celebration before everybody goes off to the pods.
The pods are underground, aren't they? The dome is just completely decorative.
The dome probably gives sort of an operating area for the maintenance crews or whatever. So in this case, it's a change of state.
fair.
If you make it big enough, it also gives you a place to have your effectively Fat Tuesday, if everybody brings their leftover pantry goods, have a big party, lots of food. Because you don't want that stuff sitting in your pantry while you're in the deep freeze.
Indeed.
You have to clear out space.
Because exactly. depending on the length of orbit, that winter could last a good few years.
So you're thinking a long orbit planet. So.
It's probably a long orbit. Otherwise, realistically, if you're freezing the ground to the point where you've got liquid oxygen running around, there's a lot of plant life that can't survive that.
There's bacterial life that can't survive that.
Practically all of it, I think. So you're probably looking at quite a long hot period, and because of the way orbital mechanics works, a necessarily longer cool period.
Mm-hmm.
So suggestion one was state fair, as in the change of state fair. It is the gathering of folk before everybody goes into the pots.
Sweet.
Stealth Christmas episode. I see it.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's not quite Halloween. It's not a harvest festival, but it's kind of the...
And it's not really the depths of winter festival, because
It might be the experiential depths of winter, because, you know, when you can't walk around outside because you may drown in oxygen, no one is awake during that period.
True. It could be that winter, everybody knows winter starts when you look up at the dome and you see the droplets of oxygen hitting the dome. When it starts to rain oxygen, that's when winter starts.
There's all sorts of things you could do with this that could be really entertaining, because you could have a thing where, for whatever reason, at the state fair, something goes wrong or something goes missing or people need to be rescued or something, and you have this whole thing of people trying to figure out a way of how to save them when the other ecosystems are waking up.
Okay, so you have cold state ecosystems.
There are things that can swim in liquid oxygen.
Okay, shades of pitch black.
Yeah.
That'll work, but...
Like it.
Yeah, so, you know, it's basically we are time-sharing a planet.
That's why they have the dome, because it's really important that the giant things that swim in the liquid oxygen oceans don't get in.
Because they like to chew on the wires.
Yeah, I mean, this has lots of interesting links to things like Pitch Black or A Deepness in the Sky from Verna Vinge.
Yep.
Okay.
There's all sorts of stuff you could do with it. I like it.
It's interesting. The dome itself could be underwater, and, you know, it's relatively accessible. It's not, like, deep or anything.
Mm.
Then the atmosphere turns into its own ocean, and the water turns into bedrock.
Yeah.
So as far as the creatures who live in it are just, you know, splashing around in this freezing sea of atmosphere. Don't know what's down there.
Everybody thinks to go digging under the sea.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's winter. You've just had your state fair. The last few people are starting to get prepared to be frozen. The provisions for waking back up have been packed and everything sorted. And from orbit, you get a message.
Nice.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, nobody's going to be able to leave the dome. Nobody's going to be able to live outside the dome. What do you do?
Yeah, and it's very much a something has to happen.
Yeah.
Type
message, distress beacon.
Mm.
Something's landing. Can you help us? And just
hold the lift. We're a bit late.
Yeah.
Tough shit.
Option two for that one was riffing more on, well, in particular, the movie Cargo, and is the idea of, well, Cargo to a lesser extent, The Thing. Basically, the idea that you've got this situation, but you're in the depths of winter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, for convenience sake, this is occurring right at the coldest point. So this world is the furthest it gets from its star. It's starting to, as it were, make that turn and come back in. You've got people sitting in this facility surrounded, you know, sitting at the bottom of an ocean of liquid oxygen, or maybe up on a nice high place, looking out over the frozen oceans and slushy...
But you have people throughout that long winter...
Yeah, you've got the wake-up...
Maintaining...
You've got the maintenance crew, and they may be doing it as a very small crew, a la The Thing, or maybe that you've got one person on overwatch in, you know, 6 months or however many year shifts,
a la Cargo,
and then something happens.
Mm.
Good point. Or Prometheus, if you've got a small crew.
Except less shit.
Well, yes. One of the tiny fragments of the movie that perhaps didn't suck, but we digress.
Mm. Or Pandora.
Ooh, nice.
But
much.
In any case, I've just given myself a bunch of work on show notes. But yeah, in that case, you've got the much smaller crew. I mean, that one screams horror scenario to me.
Mm.
That is the small base, unbelievably isolated, and something's going wrong. Something's happening. Maybe it's there's something out there.
Worse, there's something in here. Mm, yeah. Something got in before the door slammed shut.
Mm. And you could have the hilarious, depending on your definition of hilarious, the circumstance of what happens if, as it were, the winter crew, or the winter population of the world, had gradually become aware of these strange facilities on their world, buried in the rock under the ocean, and had been trying to investigate them for years and building probes and that kind of thing that could actually survive at these ludicrous temperatures. You know, temperatures hot enough to melt bedrock. Temperatures hot enough to boil the oceans. Just nothing, you know, no living thing could possibly survive in those environments. And yet, it seems they do. So they managed to build a probe that can survive that.
Of course, are you thinking of setting the players as the oxygen swimming creatures?
Probably not, because I'm not 100% sure how you'd do it. But think about it from the point of view of the human crew, where you've got a probe built by the oxygen swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're riffing on the abyss.
It's not a purposeful horror, it's just that
it vastly divergent worlds'
first contact does often tend to get a little bit messy. Yes.
You could invert it in terms of you could be playing the oxygen swimming things, trying to retrieve something that was taken as a sample during the summer that the humans haven't figured out what it is yet. And it's an egg mass or something important that's designed to survive the summer.
It's an important egg mass. You've got to get it back. And it's
going to be too hot down there.
Yeah.
For the egg mass once it hatches.
Well, if it's designed to survive, it's going to be too hot. If it hatches, you have to get it back before then because it's designed to survive the summer.
Nice.
I had been wondering if you were possibly going with a city under siege, so you were playing the maintenance crew who is on duty at the point at which the oxygen-dwelling critters start trying to make a play for putting a probe through, not even necessarily with malicious intent. That's probably what it would come across as.
Yeah.
I hadn't even considered the thought that there was something that was living on the world.
That was intelligent.
I made a contribution.
That there was anything living on the world in the cold time. So that's where I went with that, with physical state stuff. I had another one, but maybe we could jump to somebody else's idea and then jump back. I don't know. Or I can just burble it off now. I'll just burble it off now then. Fine. I'm checking my notes because I made notes.
Did you make enough for everybody? I'm not allowed to bring notes unless you made enough for everybody.
Yeah, probably. If we sort of trade line for line. In this one, I'm going with state fair in the political administration sense.
Okay.
So we're basically looking at, realistically, a US where the role of the federal government is drastically reduced.
Mm-hmm.
There is still a United States of America, but mostly the thing that makes them united is the fact that they're still a United States of America. So there is a lot more power in the hands of the various state governments.
Mm-hmm.
Should we put a political disclaimer on the section of the episode ahead of time?
At the very least, it should be talking, this is a bunch of New Zealanders talking out of their ass disclaimer.
we have nothing to base any of this on.
It would work fine in other places. I mean, you could easily do it in New Zealand. It's just, why would you bother? But it's basically the idea that there is a federal government. It doesn't really do very much anymore. Most of the power and most of the organization of stuff is at the state level. Things are very balkanized. Which state you are from is important. Which state you are a citizen of is very important.
Okay.
And a state fair is basically an event where new immigrants in particular, or possibly people looking to move, have the opportunity to talk to representatives of the different states to see whether they qualify for immigration status, whether the state might be interested in taking them on as a citizen. Alternatively, whether, if you've got somebody who is of sufficient demand, which state is offering the best deal, like a job fair.
That's nice.
Playing off Maine against Florida.
Maine wins.
Pardon?
Maine wins. Sorry.
North Dakota against South Dakota.
Indeed. You know, and maybe you're doing that just to see how high you can get the blood pressure of the people from California who are watching from their booth, infuriated that you're talking to these guys when they have the best deal and you haven't come over yet, and why haven't they come to talk to us?
Because they like the other booth.
So that's where I went with it.
Interesting. I like the job fair idea. A weird thought spanged off my head at the point that you were talking about, you know, where you were from is really important and all that kind of thing. It just occurred to me that from a certain...
That was a peanut.
Oh, I see. That from a certain point of view, given the setting of the Hunger Games, the closest thing to a state fair where people can actually interact is the Hunger Games.
Ugh.
Because people are kept very separate otherwise, but I'm not sure where we can sensibly go with that. But the job fair thing, the idea of it being
people
one of the few periods...
Populace.
Yeah, one of the few periods where people can move.
Ah, so you really lock it down.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking of it in terms of, you know, it'd be a bit like visiting other countries that, for the most part, you apply for a tourist visa.
Mm.
You know, and in the case of planning to do a road trip, you're applying for a lot of tourist visas. You know, if you've decided, yes, we're going to do it. We're going to drive from Alaska to Florida. Oh, man, the paperwork.
Yeah.
We are kind of talking balkanization at the level of the USSR in terms of having states that were also independent countries and, yeah, the whole thing from Hunt for Red October. You mean you can just drive without papers? Dude. Except we bring the papers back.
And also, just to throw another thing on the pile of show notes, thinking of the book Only Ford, Michael Marshall Smith, they believe, the concept of the neighborhoods.
Yep.
Some of which are more restrictive than others about what you have to do to qualify to get into them. Some of them are pretty laid back. You have to have a decent dress sense and follow casual Fridays and black trouser Tuesdays or whatever.
Yes.
Or the Birdclaves from Snow Crash, where it was all corporate themed.
Yep.
Or Cat Neighborhood.
There's also the book Jennifer Government, which has that kind of thing, though it's less geographic and more...
Economic.
Economic and employment based.
Mm.
You know, somebody is genuinely surprised when they come to a country that is not a US franchisee and discovers that they have to change to different money because they weren't aware that such a thing...
existed.
Yeah, was an option. Mm. That's where I went with State Fair. I'm not 100% sure how you turn it into a game. I mean, you could either use it as a setting for a multi-session game, because I'm sure there's stuff going on in a world that is that heavily balkanized and...
Fairly sure you can come up with something to make the players squeal with glee and the GM cry quietly concerning the players deciding that they absolutely have to smuggle themselves into X neighborhood or X state despite being manifestly unqualified, unsuitable, wanted by legal authorities in several other states, perhaps.
Maybe that's the job.
Or smuggling someone out.
Maybe
or,
it's...
Who knows?
Actually, if you take a leaf from the William Gibson sort of cyberpunk trilogy and a bit, the notion of if you've got somebody who lives in and is a citizen of a particular state, and they really want to be somewhere else, but they have no legal means of entering that state, then maybe they pay somebody to smuggle them in there. Alternatively, maybe if you've got a circumstance where you've got somebody who is very valuable in a particular area, their state will simply never allow them to travel outside of the borders. So a bit like the USSR during the Cold War days, where depending on how incredibly valuable a person was, they're never going to get very close to anything like a port from which they could defect. So you've maybe got a circumstance where you've got a team who are trying to sneak into... Montana. A team to sneak into Montana to contact somebody to find out whether that person might be interested in defecting at all, and then figuring out how to do it.
Could be a love story. Bridging two warring states.
The players could be coyotes. Smuggling people across the border. The other border.
Actually, there's an entertaining one. Somebody wanting to be smuggled out of the US and into...
another part of the US.
Another part of the US, or just out of the US altogether.
Depends on the circumstances of why the states have become so demarcated in that way.
Right, if you wanted to shift the context of the whole concept but kind of explain why everything's so isolated, you make them arcologies.
Huh.
That would make it easier to contain people.
And then you've got, I don't know...
At that point, you're looking at city-states.
Yeah. Also, Shadowrun. The whole thing of how do you operate in that kind of context.
You can put the dials up to 11 and go with the megacities. Except, you know, have a few more rather than an entire seaboard.
Or port it completely off-world, in which case you can pretty much take it where you will.
Indeed.
Colony in space.
Interesting.
So, that's what I got.
Okay. Who's going next?
It's me or thee? Looks like it's me. Okay.
Yep. Because I'm lazy.
In comparison to those, I was really, really boring, actually, because I just went with actual state fairs, which I am assuming are a little bit like AMP shows writ large, thinking there will be a show note for AMP shows for people who don't live in New Zealand.
That's my understanding. I asked one of the Americans at work about state fairs.
Mm.
He apparently used to live very near to a state fairground and always used to enjoy going and watching the parade of chickens.
Parade of chickens!
If it had Polish chickens in it, that would be awesome.
But apparently there were many chickens, well, because you get kids who are bringing in their
I'm prize
not really
chicken.
Sure you have a pet chicken as such, but...
Yes, you do.
It depends on the chicken.
Yeah, you have the sort of prize chickens that they had raised and were showing off, and yeah, the parade of chickens.
If the child is sufficiently small and the chicken is sufficiently large, you are then enthralled to the chicken. It is your feathered lord and master, but yeah.
They are very picky.
They can be.
Anyway...
Yeah, so I had this idea of, I kind of get the impression that at various times in the history of the United States, there have been some states that have been chopped up and others that have amalgamated. I'm getting this idea of what happens if you have a situation where states have amalgamated. They both originally had state fairs, and the new state fairgrounds were quite close to each other. So you have two rival state fairs happening at the same time with very much the same content.
Dueling state fairs.
Our state fair is the best state fair.
Or I cut you.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to turn that into a game. I'm wondering if it's actually a thing where the players are just attendees and the idea is to experience as much state fair as you possibly can without getting caught with the stamp of the other state fair. Yeah.
Either that or the PCs are roving packs of semi-feral carnies trying to promote their own fair at the expense of the other ones. I don't know. There's all sorts of stuff you could do with that.
That's quite good. You've got event barkers from the other state fair kind of sneaking in and selling tickets to the thing across the road.
You know, Oregon has a tilt-a-whirl. This one doesn't have a tilt-a-whirl, but Oregon has a tilt-a-whirl.
You know what we have that you don't?
Caramel corn.
Teeth!
Then on would we go. We could bring in Carnivale. There could be actually
mystical proportions.
Mystical things happening.
So the number of attendees either just keeps the carnival going so that the most successful carnival gets to go further, or that state fair that has the most attendees gets to do the most mojo.
Or I was actually thinking of... That would work quite well. The thing that I'd been thinking of was more that you had mystical people in the know at each individual carnival who were kind of keeping track of things and thinking, it's okay. The portents say that when a certain collection of people are gathered in one place, a whole bunch of weird shit it will happen that's very important. But it's okay, because at this carnival, there's only like three of them. Another equivalent person at the other carnival going, it's okay, we don't have to worry, there's only three of them. And then by accident, they stumble into each other as these cons kind of come together and go, oh, holy shit, no, it's happening
Tuesday.
We had four
of them together, that would be really bad.
Six is too many.
Yeah, and now what do we do?
Okay.
So you've got people playing those six or however many key people who have not necessarily any idea what's going on.
But are the fulcrum of a grand event in the universe.
Yeah. There's all sorts of riffs you could do with it, because just having the trying to get to as many events as possible without getting the rival stamp noticed, you vile splitter, would be entertaining enough in itself.
Yeah, I had started on the mundane world, thinking of the ghastly transition process that has consumed a certain proportion of Auckland for the last couple of years of organised friendly rivalries between different sections of the state fairs. The tilt-a-wheel contest, the, I don't know if they do the ghost train haunted house
probably.
Kind of thing, if we're going with a sort of carnival ride sort of thing, to see which side is the best, and there will sort of be this grand amalgamated version of the state fair with various bits and pieces, various...
Tunnel of Love versus Hot Dog of Horror.
Well, Tunnel of Love, but it's kind of like, who gets the Tunnel of Love contract sort of thing for the great amalgamated state fair kind of thing, which you could... I had thought of it in the mundane sense, but yeah, you could take it metaphysical as well.
Yeah.
The mundane
possibly the one that
nice.
Wins becomes the reality.
Ooh. The mundane conflict could be entertaining enough in itself, in terms of this could be a fiasco game and everyone could wind up dead, Dave.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm thinking of the food court wars, terrible idea that comes and goes
Yeah, we did a whole episode on that.
Huh? How about that? I must have been asleep in the corner.
I think you were in another country dealing with yaks and snow kitties.
Yes, you were yakking on snow kitties.
Totally was yakking on snow kitties. They do stink a lot sometimes.
Yaks or snow kitties?
Well, both. Snow kitties leave very stinky things sometimes. Because they love you, really.
No, I think that's because that bit is theirs now.
Also true.
My rock. Squirt. I was just
my camera.
Well, yes.
Not so far. I am deeply surprised.
Okay. A study should
we have never not gotten a picture of the pretty end of a snow kitty. We have got a picture of the snores of a kitty that's pressed up against the camera.
Okay.
What is this? It smells funny.
Pretty much.
Mm.
But it didn't then turn around and pee on it.
Not that we know of, and we'd probably notice.
I was just imagining with the dueling state fairs thing of, because the state fairs, and admittedly I'm judging this mostly from looking at the website for the Indiana State Fair, which incidentally usually occurs around the time of Gen Con, so do check it out. They seem to be a combination of the A&P show and the Royal Easter show.
Okay.
So you've got entertainment and you've got bands. Mm-hmm. Sometimes reasonably big name bands.
Side by side with people shearing sheep and...
Competitively.
And showing off their dirt bike collection and...
And cows.
And stuff they've grown.
And shiny tractors.
Shiny, yep. Shiny tractors.
And funnel cake.
What is funnel cake? I kind of get the impression it's like a really messy churro, or...?
I believe it is a fried batter thing. I think the reason that it's called funnel cake is that the batter is reasonably runny, and so...
You put it in a funnel.
Yeah, you sort of put it out in a funnel, and just you use that to manage the dispensing process. That's my understanding of funnel cake. I'll double check and put it in the show notes for the listener.
And for me.
And for you.
My first encounter with the concept of funnel cake was somebody's terrifying superhero character online that we ran into. I think it was Captain Funnel Cake.
Oh, Captain Funnel Cake.
That was horrific.
I can't remember whose idea it was, so I can't give proper credit. Basically, somebody who ate nothing but funnel cake and became enormously fat, and so was living in this funnel cake dispensing van, which was also partly a transforming robot, because they couldn't get out anymore to fight crime.
I'm not sure if it's better or worse than my concept of the funnel cake spider.
Why
are you looking at me like that? They can't even see it over the microphone.
Because you said funnel cake spider.
I did say funnel cake spider. Did I? No, maybe I didn't.
Why would... Okay, go on.
Please explain the funnel cake spider.
Oh, that was as far as I got.
Oh.
Damn it.
Possibly riffing on the funnel web spider, which is just this psychotic bundle of murderous neurons, as far as I can tell, native of Australia.
I think the
one funnel... part of the city of Australia, I think.
I think the funnel cake spider is a spider which is trying to make up for the rowdier side of the family, the funnel webs, who frankly are just dreadful and we don't hang out with them, we don't invite them to Christmas anymore. And so the funnel cake spider is a spider who lurks around fairs, that sort of thing, watching and listening, because spiders are good at that, and then waits until somebody says, you know, I feel a bit peckish, and boom, they are there with funnel cake. Just boom, right there. Ta-da, funnel cake.
I see.
Okay, so sort of more like an orb web spider. I'm sort of imagining some of those, sometimes you go to fairs and they have somebody with a hot griddle pan and it's often with treacle, and they lay out designs in treacle, sort of butterscotch treacle toffee stuff that then hardens into this shape, this outline thing. And I'm sort of imagining a spider doing that, but with some sort of battered web pattern, like a really well perforated waffle or something.
That is doable. I've done something similar with pancake batter, and if you put it in like a tomato sauce dispenser with the nozzle, you can lay it out in designs.
Yeah, pretty much. Except the tomato sauce bottle is a spider.
Yeah, you're going.
Ew. Trying not to think about the spinnerets for the spookers.
Yes, thank you for your spider milking motions.
They do not like it. No, they don't.
Anyway,
back to the state fair and away from the funnel cake spider.
You'll dream about it tonight.
Highly likely. Anyway, I think I'm done, unfortunately, so that means we are left with the musings of Guloti.
Funnel cake spider. No, I do actually have another idea that is slightly less ghastly.
So what is this idea?
My idea, well, I was trying desperately to get from state fair to affairs of state to a fez of state, which unfortunately kind of stopped at a word association and didn't really go particularly anywhere, although I'm sure it would be possible to work in a fez. The most coherent idea that I got was sort of riffing on something a la Cabin of the Woods and the state as in state of emotion and fair as in toll, thing you pay. And so effectively possibly the medium of the state fair, the event and the gathering, was the medium by which certain
you could turn
dramas,
up
emotional dramas or storylines or whatever would be played out to offer up as a metaphysical offering to other forces, powers.
Okay. I'm kind of envisaging this thing where you have people coming to this fair in order to pay the toll so that there are some emotions that they don't have to have and other emotions that they're allowed to have. So you don't get to feel
bartering
love or happiness unless you pay with certain experiences or memories or whatever that particular toll is. And there are other things where you might need to front up so that you don't get, I'd really rather not feel fear this year. So here is an emotion or an experience or a thing that I offer up.
I remember reading a story in an anthology and I can't remember who the author was. Possibly Kim Stanley Robinson, but I don't actually think that's correct, called The Pain Peddlers.
Ooh.
That was effectively a society that had figured out how to, you know, a somewhat sort of jaded, decadent society looking for new thrills that had figured out how to bottle the experience of other people's pain and give it to them who wanted to feel it as a way of feeling something. And so there was this relatively sort of
yipe,
ghastly system set up where people who are poor or don't have insurance and so on would effectively be getting approached by corporate type saying, you know, if you're willing to let your relative die this horrible, ghastly death, we'll pay you good money for their agonizing last experience, because there's a market for that, and people having to make these horrendous choices. I think it was following somebody who was basically in that line of acquiring the product and passing it on. It was fairly creepy.
Sounds it.
And I cannot remember the author. I'm pretty sure Kim Stanley Robinson is not the author.
So we won't thank him for it.
No.
But thank you to whoever that was. You creepy person.
So the fair would be a venue to either experience emotions or
hawk your wares,
or to possibly to like draw, so like say to draw something out. I mean, the Tower of Terror or something could be where you just sort of cathartically exorcise your fear.
Nice. We could hybridize things and say that this is like a fear ground where you go and are paid to go in order to have your experience drawn off.
Yeah, which would mean if you wanted the witting or unwitting, if you ran it kept in the woods, it might possibly be that the state fair is this thing that is being horrendously manipulated to ensure that the full range of emotions are experienced, or that there is
indeed. We're running short on nausea. Just move the weights on the gravitron around a bit.
Indeed.
Awesome.
It's now mandatory, and people will totally want to, because we've laced it with an addictive substance. You know, eat extra amounts of caramel popcorn before going on the giant spinning wheel o' do.
For some reason, there's a big run on regurgitation right now.
One of the unspeakable others wants a sacrifice of Borg.
You could also do this concept from the outside, of kind of a Something Wicked This Way Comes thing, of somebody trying to investigate this travelling fair that has all sorts of weird things going on with it, in terms of it has all of these outward sensible trappings of a fair, but it's unusual for a travelling state fair to have the underground orgy pits or something, with the pheromones being pumped in through the air conditioning and all sorts of these other rooms.
Well, it could be much smaller than that. Just you have this thing that has what from the outside looks like an ordinary carnival, but people coming away, there are things that change in their lives in ways that are unusual. So
interesting.
Unusual number of car accidents in the month following. Unusual number of positive events as well. They balance out, but there's more of them.
Interesting.
And for some reason, although it doesn't really relate to anything, thinking of Sandman's Desire. Possibly also Despair. Actually, a number of the Endless, I imagine, could find things to amuse them at a state fair.
Yes.
I didn't come up with anything for the emotional state fair, but the state fizz.
Right there is a picture of a fizz.
I have a drawing app on my phone, don't you judge me. I thought about the state fizz.
Okay.
And I think maybe the state fizz is a bit like the Hogwarts sorting hat. It's the magical thing.
It tells you where you're going to live from now on?
Well, it's like that in that it's a magical hat, and it has some level of intelligence. But I think it's the hat traditionally worn by the ruler of the state. And it's a magical thing, and it's sort of soaking up all of their knowledge and their experience, so it's very wise. And to a certain extent, the state fairs almost is the ruler of this particular state, because it's been around for a very long time. It needs somebody to wear it, and can't make them do things. All it can do is offer advice and suggestions.
its advice always sounds really good.
Mm.
But when it gets right down to it, everything it's ever learned, it's learned from humans who are fallible.
Indeed, and from humans who got to the point where they became the ruler of that state.
Mm. Interesting. Mm.
I'm not sure what you do with a magical governmental fez.
Possibly it goes missing.
Yeah.
So you hide, track it down.
And suddenly you've got someone who is relying on the experience of one lifetime to rule this place and is kind of not practiced.
Gubernatorial headgear has gone missing. So.
Mm.
Or alternatively, we go a little bit weird on it and all of the players are different facets of identity absorbed by the hat who are trying to solve the problem of somebody who, I don't know, is either not listening or is just flat out allergic to hats.
Pick up the hat, Bob! Pick up the hat!
It's interesting what happens if the next in line, I mean, if it's a line of succession...
It's a terrible wool allergy.
You want to wear the tassel, Bob? Girls go wild for the tassel.
Yeah. Depending on where you wear it.
Yeah, what happens if the next prince,
Bob, take me
prince
off right
in the
now.
Line is a blithering idiot? Or
maybe the current governor has an immediate successor if they're like the present vice president. I don't think you have vice governors, but yes, suddenly the person steps up and, well, yeah, they're a moron.
Yeah. Or they're a violent psychopath or something. And they're still listening to your advice, but they're a complete foaming nutbar. So, yeah, you're trying to manipulate them with advice that sounds perfectly sensible to put them in a situation where they just go away and somebody with half a brain puts on their hat.
Actually, this sounds like a Better Angels character.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except the hat
kind of does.
Is the hero.
You or always have to call him Physic.
Well done.
So how long have you been thinking of that? For a while. Fizz up right now.
And the pun wars begin.
In present of the big red couch, there is only pun war.
I have nothing to confess.
They'll bowl you over.
So, that I think has been beaten into the ground.
With the stovepipe? I regret nothing.
I don't think I can fizz too much more of this.
Kick!
Alright.
So,
that was... State Fair, by the looks of things.
Mm-hmm.
We did good.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of shenanigans in this that we can do.
Yes.
I think we've come up with a lot more short story ideas, necessarily, than gaming campaigns.
Yeah.
But
one shots.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah, one shot.
It's a good vehicle. It was all feeling kind of Ray Bradbury this week for some reason.
Maybe a little.
Yeah. Actually... I can't blame that on my reading material for the week.
Mm.
I really can't blame it on my... Seriously, my reading material for the week has been a history of the development of liquid rocket propellants.
So you can blame some of it on it. Not the Red Raspberry bit, but some of the
some
other
of it, ideas. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
It's possible the fieldwork may have contributed to the funnel cake spider, if nothing else. I'm not sure where the rest of my contribution came from.
Although you did remind me of a craft project I've been meaning to do, which was a fiasco fez that some of our audience will have heard about from our podcast Crossover Adventure. I have a design in mind.
What would a fiasco fez...
Well, I was initially thinking that it would just be a fez that has things on it that are reminiscent of the cover of the fiasco book.
Uh-huh.
But then I figured out how I could make it functional.
Mm.
Because it does use D6s, some black, some white. I figured that I can section off the top with 12 bars, 6 white, 6 black.
Alternating?
Alternating?
Yeah.
Maybe alternating? Basically numbered sections in black and white and make the tassel
a spinner.
Mm. And where the tassel hits...
That would be cool.
Mm.
I was also thinking fez-shaped moonhopper.
A fez-shaped moonhopper?
The little hoppy things. It's fez-shaped. Balls. You can hold the tassel.
I'm not sure whether we should sign off in the absence of Kiv, since we were halfway through signing off anyway, or quite what we do, to be honest.
Try to figure out how many of today's offerings you could combine into one ghastly, epic...
I was thinking of people talking about
dancing.
Competing state fairs. Oh, this is like, remember, we've got to win this, so we can go to the nationals.
Awesome!
It's like
National Fair!
Oh, so it'd be like an expo.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whoever puts on the best state fair.
State fair
goes to the World Expo.
Or, yes, the World's Fair, which is relevant because I just started playing Bioshock Infinite.
How's the game?
All state fairs combined? Are they Ultron and
Tomato? Very good, actually. I'm currently soaking in the world of Columbia going, well, I'm sure this is going to turn dark and ugly any second now. La 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 la. Yeah.
So. That's not part of the milieu at all.
Indeed, that's quite a...
I know nobody went for Ren Fair.
Kev's phone. Never not funny.
Thank you, Kev's phone. You have saved us all.
Yeah. No, I like that idea of competing state fairs from different states.
Upgrading to the world.
Upgrading to the world's fair. And no, we didn't do Renfair. Renfair would have been cool.
Competing fairs, there's also shades of whichever episode of My Little Pony, the Applejack and Rainbow Dash competing for who is the most awesome pony in Ponyville or whatever.
Yeah, the Running of Leaves episode. That was just,
that's the one.
That was just odd because apparently seasons don't happen unless they do things. It's either highly ritualized or a colossal make-work exercise meted out by their trollish ruler.
I don't know, I kind of like the idea that they live in a world that has had something horribly magically disruptive happen in the past, and this is the process of trying to get things back on track and teach the world to be, you know, cyclic again.
Yeah. There are definitely seasons we've got there in books. This is how they go.
Yeah. Anybody remember what we were doing before the phone rang?
Basically, we were talking about a fez-shaped moonhopper and then signing off. Unless there was something else.
Well, we could wait till Kev gets back, or we could just do a sign-off and say, well, okay, so the phone rang, and Kev's on the phone, so we're signing off now.
Yeah, basically.
Should I do that bit?
And just to throw our plans into disarray back again.
Oh, we're wondering whether what we should do is just say, okay, so the phone rang, and Kev had to answer the phone. But we're signing off anyway, so...
Okay, we can do that. I'm back now, so we can just do the bye thing.
Okay, let's finish the goddamn episode. That's all we have for this episode, folk. Bye from me.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
See you next time.
Next time on The Big Red Couch.
Don't go to A Street naked. Don't go to L Street dressed like a train.
Outstanding. This will be the first episode with a concept directly inspired by a dream someone had.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to horde.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!